Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Have you been keeping up with the Russian hacking hysteria that has been taking place? I think this thing is just getting out of control at this point, isn't it? I mean, first we had the insinuation that these things were taking place with the presidential election. And then from there, it had just gotten completely crazy in the response that had taken place. Of course, even the president taking presidential action against Russia at this point. Now on Capitol Hill, the discussions that are taking place about doing more and so forth. I was reading an article when this whole thing was unfolding. The article was out on FoxNews.com, and the article was in their cyber crime section. It said, "What's inside? Obama gets report on Russian hacking as Republicans spar on claims." The article went on to say this: President Obama has received a much-anticipated classified report on alleged Russian and other foreign meddling in American elections, heightening interest in what evidence the file contains as Republicans spar over the cyber attack claims and wait for their chance to see the findings themselves. Of course, now they have seen those findings, and basically what has come out is there's no conclusive evidence in the report. There's just a lot of innuendo, for instance, like they were monitoring some of the chatter that was taking place by the Russians. And they noted that they celebrated when Donald Trump was elected. Well, considering the relationship they had with Hillary Clinton, I guess that that's understandable that they would do so. So there wasn't any smoking gun that came out of that report. And we want to talk about that on the program today. Who better to talk about that with than Dr. Ann Pierce? She is a contributing editor to the Washington Times. She is also the author of a book called A Perilous Path, The Misguided Foreign Policy of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry. Dr. Pierce, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Pierce, tell us a little bit about your book, and maybe that would be a good way to set up as we segue now to what's happened most recently in this hysteria that's taking place about this alleged hacking incident. But let's start first. Why don't you give the listening audience a synopsis of what you write about in your book, A Perilous Path?
Yeah, well, it was a seven-year project, and it all began when I watched Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton's foreign policy being articulated and put into place, and finally became so concerned that I had to write this book. They were rejecting our best foreign policy traditions, which emphasize peace through strength and human rights. They were downgrading our defenses, de-emphasizing our ideals, reaching out to the world's worst dictators and offering to negotiate with them without any focused on now. They were inadequately focused on growing threat groups. And so the result of all this, I show in A Perilous Path, is that one word is exploding all over. We have atrocities, hostilities, weapons programs that are sort of exponentially expanding. And my hope is that this book can provide a meaningful sort of companion reader in the first 100 days of the Trump presidency so that we can look at where we went wrong, but also look at our best foreign policy traditions from the Cold War period and see where we might go instead.
Boy, that's quite a story, especially because it's not getting reported on in the mainstream media, just basically what a tremendous failure the Obama administration's foreign policy was during his two terms.
Yeah, and I really do believe it was a failure on both a moral and a strategic level. I mean, having studied American presidents and studied the presidents I think were the best foreign policy presidents, I really believe that American foreign policy at its best emphasizes both national security and global stability and political freedom and human rights. And one of the conclusions I come to in my book is that President Obama and his secretaries of state, Clinton and Kerry, are the first to emphasize neither national security or human rights and political freedom. And the result of this is just, as I said, both atrocities and hostilities and weapons programs escalating all over the world. You look around, Syria is a cataclysm, obviously. You have Libya, Sudan, Yemen and Lebanon now in crisis, Iran and North Korea ever closer to becoming serious nuclear powers. We have a very aggressive, resurgent Russia causing trouble all over the place. And I could just go on.
You know, when we talk about Russia and related to this, what you write about their failed foreign policy and so forth, whatever happened to the reset button, that infamous meeting that Hillary Clinton had, press conference where, you know, she literally brought a button there and talked about that they were going to reset the relationship between Russia and the United States. Did anything ever actually come about from that whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, you raised such a great point, because my understanding is that Russia did attempt to hack into our election and did particularly target the DNC. Mm. Of course, in the past, they had targeted Colin Powell, and this is all part of a broader Russian attempt to undermine influence in democratic institutions and destabilize our democratic processes. And they do this not only here, but throughout Europe. They have a very active disinformation campaign going on all over the place. But as you pointed out, what's so interesting is how sudden this interest is on the part of the administration to the Russian threat and Russian intelligence threats, because this was the administration that, as you said, authored the Russian reset, negotiated a generous START treaty with Russia, which gave away a lot more than we needed to give away in terms of nuclear weapons. They dismantled missile defense programs in Eastern Europe. And worst of all, in my mind, was their continuous deferral to Russian plans for Syria, when they knew full well that Russia's only purpose in Syria was to prop up the brutal Assad regime. So, yes, the hypocrisy, I think, is continuing on, and I would love to see these investigations that are going on in Congress become broader investigations into, as I said, Russian disinformation and propaganda campaigns in general, rather than staying so politicized.
Mm-hmm. With the president coming out now and speaking about just how basically how powerful and how influential Russia was in our elections and so forth, it speaks directly against his own comments when he was debating Mitt Romney. When he was debating him, he said that Romney was talking about that Russia was one of the biggest players that we had to be concerned about. And Obama hooted at it, and he said the 1980s would like their foreign policy back. You would think that those words right there would be played over and over again. On one side, he was telling us in that quote, you know, that they were of no significance whatsoever. They may have been during the 80s, but they certainly aren't now. Well, now he seems to be singing a completely different tune, doesn't he?
Oh, you're not kidding. And it is so frustrating that does not get played over and over. And then a friend was just reminding me of something, which I don't know how I could have forgotten it. It was so startling. Mm. But the fact that during his second election, he sent the message to Vladimir Putin, Obama did, that he would have more flexibility after the election. And this was the president that had already given Russia basically everything they wanted, including a very weak response to aggression in Ukraine and elsewhere, really basically enabling Russia. So, and the other thing is that you pointed to is the way Obama, Clinton, and Kerry would ridicule anyone who thought there still were Cold War dynamics going on. And yet now we see that we have to return to Cold War dynamics. We have to face the fact that we have aggressive powers all over the world, and that isolationism isn't going to work, and that this sort of one world approach that the administration took, where they made these compromising deals with dictators and the hopes that we could create a morally mute but unified world in which we could all somehow get along, we have to face the fact that that has failed, and we have to get back to very sound policy, which does emphasize national security, our alliances, and it also projects ideals of political freedom like we did in the Cold War, you know, from the Marshall Plan to Voice of America, Radio Free Europe. We didn't sit around and hope that all this would just go away. We had learned from World War II that when you sit around and act hopeful, bad things happen.
Yeah, I think it was even Hillary Clinton herself or somebody else that was running for office there said, just don't do stupid stuff is not a a foreign policy. And you can't just adopt a little slogan like that and expect that that is going to make the changes, the types of changes that are necessary to keep these bad actors in check around the world. What sort of role, when we look at all this that has taken place, many people have said, okay, I understand that there's hacking going on. We have countries as well, Russia, to find out that they were, you know, that's not surprising to many people. I think they understand that this goes on back and forth. Responsibility that Hillary Clinton has as they make it easy for them to do so by keeping the email in her basement. Shouldn't that be one of the major things? This hacked information, boy, we pretty much just handed it to them, right?
I agree. And we know not only, but that she had multiple insecure servers. So there was nothing inadvertent about this. And it was tremendous. There was priority given to people who had given the Clinton Foundation, and we know all this sort of thing. And he was also careless with his emails. I was just looking back, trying to refresh my memory, and he, on, again, a personal about private DNC business, and fell prey to a phishing attempt. And you're right. The focus has turned toward that. It has taken our attention away from this other issue, which is very important. We do need strong intelligence measures, strong new measures to deal with this growing threat. And here's another example of something that gets no attention. I have always admired Chairman Royce. He's chairman of the House Foreign Relations Committee. He has been trying for years to get a stronger anti-propaganda approach, not only in Europe to counter Russia, but in Asia to counter Chinese propaganda. And he is trying to restore and reinvigorate Voice of America-type programs. And then recently, Senator Portman, Republican senator from Ohio, sponsored a bipartisan bill, and it was passed into law. And it's called the Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act. Just an absolutely excellent measure. Tremendous amount of work went into it. And you would think that at a time where we are discussing all these information problems and issues, and that we have innumerable numbers of reporters in Congress looking into this, that there might be some report on this important bill. But that would make Republicans in Congress look good. And there seem to be so many who don't ever want to give Congress for any of the work they try to do.
I think that, you know, this from a political standpoint, the Republicans should be celebrating that Barack Obama and others have brought this subject up about the Russians hacking, because, boy, it's a gift with everything that had taken place. We talked about Obama's own comments about the reset button, the more flexibility, the 1980s would like their foreign policy back, and Hillary's email server. I mean, it's a gift that could keep on giving. I think they should embrace it and just say, we'd love to have this discussion about this issue. Let's go ahead and talk about what has taken place. Instead, what the president has done now is he has taken action against the Russians. And what, in your opinion, two things. One, from the report that finally came out, at least the parts of it that were released, what was your assessment? Was there any smoking gun there place? And two, what do you think about the actions now that have been taken without, you know, any smoking gun, if there was no real evidence? How damaging is this now to the foreign policy?
Well, unless my understanding was wrong, I do think there was a smoking gun. James Clapper said that there was an aggressive and direct campaign to interfere with our election. And it seems to me that most in Congress and the intel community seem to agree with this. I thought it was interesting that Senator James Lankford said that sanctions are not premature on the part of the Obama administration. Actually, they're too late. What he's saying is, if anything, given all Russia's troublemaking, we should have stronger sanctions. Another thing that Senator Lankford points out, and others have too, he points out that we have had multiple cyber attacks and disinformation campaigns from multiple countries for a long time, and that House and Senate Intel committees have been urging a coherent strategy from this administration to deal with this problem, and they have been stonewalled, as they have on so many issues. That, again, doesn't make it into the press. I go to some of these hearings on both the Senate and House side, and I see again and again Congress people urging the administration to take a stronger approach, whether it's to Iran or to Assad in Syria, or to sex trafficking, or to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And I see again and again this administration stonewalling. So that is where I end up, is that, sure, sanctions, but let's not allow this to be a political issue. This is an issue, as I said, Republicans have been urging attention to this for a long time. Some Democrats have too.
And that on that whole subject of non-issue on some, or non-action on some of these foreign policy issues, one that comes to my mind now is what's taking place in Turkey. Here we have this, a NATO member, and the NATO member now seems to be becoming much more of a dictatorship in Turkey. They've fired, hundreds and maybe thousands of people in the government there. They've really clamped down on the entire society there in Turkey and so forth. And yet it hardly, I think, has received a peep from the president at all about what's taking place there. Would you agree?
Yeah, and one of the points that I make about Turkey is, imagine how different things might be if this administration had not allowed the Assad regime to commit these atrocities. And the Assad regime is one of the most cruel, the most devastating, destabilizing, murderous, and genocidal regimes the world has ever seen. And this administration turned down every positive humanitarian and strategic proposal to deal with that. Hence, there was a vacuum into which, of course, terrorists flowed, but also, especially significant, Russia and Iran moved right on in to support Assad. This terrified Turkey. Turkey's whole foreign policy and orientation became more top-centric, in part because of the tremendous problems in its neighborhood. It was the same thing with Iraq. We all remember Obama precipitously withdrew American forces from Iraq. Into that vacuum went Iran, and Iran now has Iranian militias are on the ground there, and these poor people that escape, like in Fallujah and Mosul, from ISIS often end up in the hands of these Iranian guards who sometimes treat them just as badly as ISIS did. So Turkey, the government, needs pressure not to turn toward being a dictatorship, but I also think that Turkey probably, if we had valued our allies more and stood against the world's worst dictators more, that Turkey probably would be acting differently right now. And what I'm rambling on about this, but just to add to that, it's important to remember that by the end of Bush's second term, Turkey had embraced some market and political reforms and was increasingly cooperative on strategic matters. So that, to me, again, suggests that with a government that pays more attention to hostilities and atrocities, and a U.S. government, that is, and that shows it's willing to stand up for its allies, we might have had a different outcome.
You know, Dr. Pierce, after you've done all this research and kept up with the foreign policy, especially now with the Obama administration and so forth, as you detail in your book, The Perilous Path, or A Perilous Path, is it too far to say that the goal of Barack Obama, that many people said in the very beginning, was to kind of knock America down to size, to make America less influential in the world, was basically the foreign policy that unfolded over the last 8 years? Was that intentional, the way that it happened, that it came down now that this is where we're at, where America is not even invited to the table on some of these discussions that are taking place among these foreign entities?
I do believe that most members of the Obama foreign policy team adhered to this current version of progressivism, which leans farther to the left than, of course, the Democratic Party used to lean, and that also believes in a morally neutral world. They really do believe that we should make deals with dictators. It's that coexistence mantra taken to a global scale. It's we'll give you this, you give us that. And most members of the Obama foreign policy team believed that the U.S. had so often in history overstepped its reach, placed too much emphasis on its own democratic principles, failed to accommodate other cultures and political systems, and they believed that the U.S. poured too much money into military alliances and defense. So this foreign policy was constructed on the premise that the U.S. had too often been arrogant, and that if we just kind of toned down our American selves, toned down our power, that we could somehow find these compromising deals with dictators. Well, problem is that dictators don't see our friendliness as an opportunity for one world unity. They see it as an opportunity to grab more power.
Yeah, I was going to say that with your analogy with the coexistence thing, that that only works if everybody plays by the same rules. The rest of the players are going, hey, we see this as weakness. We see this as something we can take advantage of. And unfortunately, that has led to, like in Syria, it has led to massive loss of life because of the, I think, the inaction of the American government on this particular issue under the guidance of Barack Obama's administration. Dr. Pierce, thank you so much for writing this book and bringing us up to speed on what's taking place so foreign policy-wise. We really appreciate your contributions there to the Washington Times. And we appreciate you coming on the program today to talk to us a little bit and help us understand a little bit about what's taking place foreign policy-wise.
Oh, Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure. It was Dr. Ann Pierce, and as I mentioned, she is a contributor to the Washington Times. She's the author of the book, A Perilous Path, The Misguided Foreign Policy of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry. You can read more about and find out more about Dr. Pierce out at her website, which is simply www.annrpierce.com. That's annerpierce.com. If you go out to that website, then you'll see more about her book, A Perilous Path, more about her speaking engagements and other things out there as well.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.